What's going on, everybody? It's the Altered State Podcast. It's episode 97.
97?
Yes.
We're coming. Wait a minute. Right, why don't I have a name for 97? Oh, my God.
It's got to be a hockey.
That's a hockey player.
It's got to be a hockey name.
Fedorov didn't wear 97, did he?
I feel like it was a Detroit guy.
Iserman?
It was a Russian. Shanahan was in the 50s, wasn't he? What was Shanahan?
I think Shanahan was in the 20s.
No. Ah, shit. Well, we threw it all off. All
right. What was Sergei Fedorov wore 91.
No. Way past that.
That's what I'm wondering if it's Stevie Y. Prick.
Yeah.
No, he wore 19. God damn it. I'm all over the place. Who wore 97?
Yep.
Someone, I'm ruining everything.
Someone let John know.
Yeah, someone please make me feel stupid. Stupider than I already feel. If you can imagine.
I want to jump into something random. We're going to, of course, do some Suicide Squad.
Naturally.
You better have watched it.
Oh, I did.
But before we do, we watched the Woodstock
documentary, man,
after the last episode. Did you see who was playing Lollapalooza over the weekend? A very successful Lollapalooza?
Limp Bizkit.
I thought that was fantastic.
Did you see what Fred Durst looks like?
I didn't see from the thing, but I saw like a week or so ago. He's like all white hair and...
That's a wig, right?
It's Fred Durst. Who knows? Yeah,
but like...
It's a pretty stressful life the last 10 years.
I'm not denying that. Here's why I think it's a wig. That is a beautiful head of hair. By all measurable, you know, gray, white, whatever. That's a luscious head of hair he had there. That motherfucker's had his head shaved for the last 25 years.
Yeah, or a hat on.
You do not shave your head if you grow hair that well.
Maybe he didn't know he grew hair that well.
I don't buy it. I can't imagine.
You don't grow hair like that if all you're going to do is wear a red Yankees hat.
Right. Like, there's all of this stuff going on. There's just no fucking way that he was, like, growing hair that well and not growing it. Like, I refuse to believe it.
Right. What are you gonna do?
When I think of like people that make smart informed decisions, Fred Durst usually isn't the one that comes to the top of my head. So like, maybe he's just that crazy guy that can grow awesome fucking hair and just chooses not to.
He is from Florida, so you just don't know about these
Florida
people.
Florida man.
That's right.
Florida man.
That's
Fred right. Durst.
Do I sound weird, or is it just my headphones?
No, it's just your headphones.
Okay. I feel like I sound like I have auto-tune or something going on.
Yeah, I've actually secretly been auto-tuning you for all these years just because wanted... I wanted something a little different. I like churching it up.
Churching it up. So let's just do Suicide Squad. I mean, why are we waiting, right?
Yeah.
What do you think? What do you know?
I had fun with it.
It's great fun.
I think... And again, it's hard to say because recency bias just is a thing. I think it's my favorite DC Extended Universe movie.
Not counting Val's Batman.
Well, that's not DC Extended
Universe. Extended Universe, I'm sorry.
I'm talking about since they tried to create their version of the Marvel Universe.
Gotcha.
Like, I'm not going to say this is the best movie ever made based on a DC property.
I understand that.
Because I am still a deep apologist for fucking Keanu Reeves Constantine if we're talking about awesome DC movies. I thought that'd be fucking ruled. But that's neither here nor there. I think since they began trying to do their extended universe, you know, since Man of Steel, I think this is my favorite one.
Oh, it's mine, hands down.
But recency bias is a thing.
Yeah, ponder, there was not really a dull moment, but it moved so well. You didn't really notice the runtime whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great start to finish. I thought it was just fun.
It was definitely fun. It was...
It's a shoot 'em up bloody comic book movie I've been watching.
Why I think it might be my favorite, I don't know. The first Wonder Woman's pretty fucking fantastic also. The first Wonder Woman is pretty neck and neck with this. But what I think makes it work the best is that it just, it knows what it is and it accomplishes that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh man, this is a fucking Oscar-worthy movie.
Not at all. No, no, no.
But this is a very self-aware movie.
Yep.
Like, James Gunn, St. Louis's own James Gunn,
yep,
is for sure the appropriate voice for this.
Yep.
He got what those characters are. I think he did the perfect shit with them. Mm-hmm. That said, I still didn't super love it.
Really?
Yeah.
What didn't you love?
I don't know. It took me two sittings to watch.
Really?
I fell asleep last night. Yeah. Now, that, for the record, that could also be a statement on the fact that one of my daughters didn't want to fall asleep, and I had to, like, I had to pause the movie like seven fucking times last night.
All right, all
right. And then I didn't even get to attempt to finish it until like close to midnight. So, yes, I'm old. And I do think had I been able to watch it uninterrupted, I would have got more joy out of it. So I don't think that's a, I don't think that's an assessment of the movie. I think that's more of an assessment of the environment in which I watched it.
Okay.
Which frustrates me.
Yeah.
Because you can't, you can never go back and watch a movie for the first time again.
It's true.
I can sit down. I can, you know, the minute you leave my house, I can cut these lights and sit in a silent black room and watch it. But now I know what I'm, you know, like, yeah. I can, you can never watch it for the first time again.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think this is a movie that totally understands what it is. And just runs. At the same time, though, the Birds of Prey movie was the same thing.
See, that
it
was
knew
just,
what it was, yeah, and it did it.
I think, but Birds of Prey suffered from
not being allowed to be rated R.
Probably.
Yes.
And I don't know, it just didn't, the story seemed to, it's a weird way to say, the story mattered too much to the movie. Like in this,
I don't know that it mattered any more than this.
I just feel like it was more of a watching Harley Quinn's journey from bad guy to pseudo bad guy.
Yeah.
It gets a little bit of a conscience with the kid and stuff like that. Sure. This one, it didn't fucking matter what happened. You know what I mean?
There were no stakes.
No.
Which was cool.
It's the Suicide Squad. Probably everybody except maybe him or her is going to die. You pretty much know that.
For sure.
And whatever happens in between is just the icing on, you know what I mean?
Right.
So, but I didn't dislike, well, I didn't love Birds of Prey by any means.
I think you should go back and watch Birds of Prey.
I watched it earlier today, actually.
Oh, did you?
It was on HBO. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Last night, I caught, you know, I was like 20 minutes in, but I'm like, I'm going to watch the rest. I mean, you know. But.
Birds of Prey, I certainly enjoyed more than I thought I would. And I think here was the, I guess this is probably my thing. I went into Birds of Prey with little to no expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And found it fun.
Yeah.
I went into the Suicide Squad with high expectations and also found it fun.
All right. Yeah.
So it's like the difference is not the quality of the movie and the distance is not, or the difference is not the quality of work. The difference is my baggage.
Here's the difference. John Cena. he is delightful. Tell me I'm wrong.
He's something.
He's fun. He is fun to
His
watch.
His character is fun.
Watching a guy like
that. He seemed awfully stiff.
But that's the thing. That's like, I mean, I know what you're saying. Don't get me wrong, but it made me laugh.
Yeah. It definitely made me laugh. It definitely made me laugh.
It made me
laugh.
And I would watch that character do all kinds of dumb shit like that.
Well, you get to.
I know.
Because he's getting a series.
Damn right he is.
Justfully
so.
Yeah. I love.
Cardinals just tied the game somehow. That usually goes the other way in the eighth inning.
Huh.
Yeah. I wasn't paying attention at all. We were down 5-2.
It's funny you say that because on the same breath, because we're going to become a baseball podcast real quick.
That's right, yeah.
I was just having this conversation the other day how I can't remember a single game this year that the Cardinals came back from being down by more than two runs. And they were just down by four and tied it. If they win this game...
Yeah.
They will immediately prove me wrong on some shit that I said the other day. But they are also facing a Mike Matheny-managed Kansas City Royals. So, not saying a ton.
I don't want to talk bad about either team. It's hard to say anything good about them.
Right.
Anyways.
So I very much enjoyed how much of a standalone movie it is.
Sure.
That was probably my favorite part about it.
Yep.
That, like, it's just refreshing that, like, yeah, of course we've seen this version of Harley Quinn before. We've seen this version of Amanda Waller. We've seen this version of Colonel Flagg.
I would disagree. I think Amanda Waller and Flagg are tweaked. They feel different to me.
Tweaked. But tweaked in a way that, like, it's the same actor, and you can tell that some time has passed, that the characters, maybe they're more like,
right.
In the first Suicide Squad, it was like the beginning of the Suicide Squad.
Right.
Now we have a Flag and a Waller who are old hat at this, right. And they're bigger assholes.
Right. They have a whole jail of Suicide Squad now.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
This is, yeah.
So it's like, I don't need to see that character development to not understand it happening.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, like, it was, what I'm getting at is it's extended universe only in that we recognize these characters to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
And the only ones that we really had seen before were Harley, Waller, Flagg, and Captain Boomerang.
Right.
I'm not forgetting it.
Nope.
I don't
not that,
think.
Not that return.
Yeah,
no.
Not that we've seen at any point in the DCU.
No.
So, like, cool. We got the joy of recognizing these characters, but it very clearly didn't rest on what they'd done before.
Right.
Nor did it require a next chapter.
Right.
And that's, like, that's more what DC needs to be fucking doing.
Sure, yeah.
Like, Marvel put in the time to where now they are making a serialized thing.
Right.
But, like, DC hasn't put in that time.
Yeah.
And you can't go back and undo that or redo it. So what you can do is just make good standalone movies. Make a really high-quality standalone movie. And then if it merits a sequel or it merits a spinoff, then awesome. You right. get to do that. But you don't have to shoehorn it in as a setup. If you make a good enough standalone movie, it'll be able to be sequelized.
Sure, absolutely.
You know, with or without that work.
Right, right. Absolutely. Favorite, well, a little bit of a spoiler, I guess. Favorite opening credits murder scene or character murder.
I think I'm going to go with the second death. I'm going to go with Pete Davidson death.
That was the first, wasn't it?
Weasel.
Oh, Weasel.
But then I guess Weasel didn't
Weasel
die.
Weasel didn't die.
Okay.
There's your sequel there.
So, yeah. The first one.
And that set a great tone for...
Exactly.
This is what's coming. Holes in the face.
And, like, and I think that's why I liked it.
Yeah.
It set the tone so well. Yeah. And it was like... It was so joyful to me that...
Rooker's was pretty good.
Well, the fact that all of the people, with the exception of Idris Elba and Harley Quinn,
mm-hmm.
That were, like, really sold to us, were the ones that died quickest.
Of course, yeah.
You know, like, that was fun to me.
Yep.
You know, like, obviously, John Cena is going to be Peacemaker.
We thought
but
he
they
was dead in like 10 minutes.
Right, because like they didn't really sell John Cena.
Right.
All of a sudden they have
right.
been.
Yep.
But like they didn't really sell him in the big announcement was we got Rooker, we got Davidson.
Right.
You know, we got Jai Courtney back. We got Nathan Fillion.
Yep.
Like
it was the sleight of hand.
It was
move,
those
yeah.
ones and I so loved that it was like oh tight. Like you fucking the Rat King is mm-hmm. gonna be or part two is,
yeah.
is gonna be
yeah.
like the here. I loved that.
Yep.
That was a fun bait and switch.
Agreed.
And it was also like I think coming into it, probably because I am a pretty big SNL fan, I had a lot of thought for like what Pete Davidson was gonna be.
Right.
And the fact that they were real quick to be like, no, he's still just going to be Pete Davidson, yep. and we're going to kill him real
yep.
quick.
Yeah, I loved how
it was
he
really
didn't even
delightful.
Have much of a different voice. He's just like, hey,
right.
guys, it's me. It's
right.
me. I called you. It was great.
It was so delightful.
King Shark was pretty goddamn good.
Yeah.
I thought that character, obviously it's a Hulk smash type character.
Yeah.
But it works so nicely.
Well, For sure. That was a big thing for me in the first Suicide Squad. That was a real gripe that they built this Suicide Squad and then they kept most of them alive.
Right.
But they also really only made the characters of Deadshot and Harley Quinn interesting or valid. You know, like,
right. Meaningful. They, yeah.
They failed every other character, but then also kept them alive. I was really grateful because it didn't take much to make Ratcatcher interesting.
Right.
But they did.
Right.
They did the little bit of work it required.
Right.
Didn't take much to make the fucking Polka Dot Man interesting.
Right.
But they did just the little bit.
Yep.
Just enough to be like, oh, okay.
Yep.
I would say the only character they undersold was Peacekeeper.
Right. I would agree.
But it was also like, he's such a two-dimensional character.
It
doesn't
yeah.
matter.
Yeah.
You know,
he's like every 80s bad guy character. I just love the dumb monologues he gives, you know, I will do anything to defend freedom. If that means killing innocent women and children, I'm right. all about it. You know, right. that's just like the great, I love that kind of shit, man. It's just hilarious. It's hilarious.
But like, I feel like they actually, they paid enough attention to tell a story.
Sure.
And the first one, so desperately failed at it. And I think that's also a real advantage that this movie has, is that Suicide Squad is such an abject failure in every possible way that all this movie had to be was a movie.
Sure.
To be better.
Yep.
You know, like,
yep.
it had to have a beginning and middle and end.
Right.
And each character had to be a character.
Yep.
That was all it had to do.
I really, Cardinals are getting ready to fuck it up again. I really enjoyed Idris Elba. I thought he was fantastic.
For sure.
I know that scene in the end, obviously you knew it was coming because she's going to make him a leader kind of thing. But when he's like, you know who that is? It's your mother. And then all of a sudden.
Yeah.
This is fun. A great scene. Great action movie type scenes.
For sure.
I had a lot of fun.
And what I also loved about it is it's like, it set the precedent.
And the rain's coming out. No one is going to stay to watch this piece of shit fall apart. They're putting the tarps on the field. It's tied up. Top of the ninth. Oh, geez.
I feel like they also set the precedent now that they can choose to make Suicide Squad movies forever and just always change the cast.
Yep.
And actors who choose to come and go can just choose to come and go.
Right.
Like, they could for sure make a next Suicide Squad and bring Will Smith back.
Totally.
And it wouldn't feel out of place.
Agreed 100%.
I think the only person that you just have to bring back, or the only people, you have to bring back Waller. And I think you have to bring back Harley Quinn until... I mean, I guess you could do... If you could get Idris Elba and Will Smith,
yeah,
you could do something fun with that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think Harley Quinn is the big sell.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Was there ever any other female members of the Suicide Squad?
Katana.
Right.
But
yeah.
They killed her in the first
one. Ivy never joined the squad at all, right? Poison Ivy? She was never...
I don't think so, but yeah. I also think you could.
Right, right. I'm just trying to... Because, you know...
You need
a female character in yeah. there somewhere. And you would think...
And Harley's for sure the most interesting.
Totally. And you would think after this... I mean, I know this wasn't box office a success, but... It's going to be a successful movie.
Oh, it will.
And
also, clearly, Margot Robbie... Is that thunder?
Oh, it might be. Yeah.
That was a loud-ass crack.
Yeah.
Clearly, Margot Robbie enjoys playing Harley Quinn.
Sure.
Because, like, she was introduced as Harley Quinn in a terrible movie.
Right.
And then she came back as Harley Quinn in a terrible movie.
Right.
And then she came back as Harley Quinn a third time in her own movie that was just fine.
Yeah.
And then came back for this fourth one. So, like,
yeah. Yeah.
Clearly.
Yeah, I forgot she popped up in, what was the other? Oh, yeah, boom. Is that Thunder?
Yeah.
Man, it's getting rough here. What was the little quick movie she was in at the beginning with Joker?
Okay. Dawn of Justice.
Justice, thank you. I always forget she popped up in that one, too.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Only for a second. But right.
But still, yeah.
For, like, you had all of these pieces, and she keeps coming back, and this is the first one. I mean, I will be an apologist for the Birds of Prey movie. I think that movie is totally fine. But it didn't move the needle.
Sure.
But, like, that she continues to come back, it's got, I mean, she's got to enjoy playing this character.
Or enjoys cashing them checks.
I mean, even still, like, we're talking, like, Margot Robbie could very easily be pigeonholed as just, like, the current hot blonde. But Margot Robbie's a fucking killer performer.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, did you see Bombshell?
I did.
Like,
yeah.
She's fucking good. She's
good, yeah.
Like, she could be out there chasing very legitimate Oscar performances, and I think she could get those roles.
Sure.
But she keeps investing a bunch of time in Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
Like, so clearly, all I'm saying is clearly she enjoys playing Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
And I think she's made enough money and probably has enough opportunities as a performer that she could walk away from it without leaving anything on the table unless she just, like, really fucking has fun making these movies.
Right.
Which I imagine she does. Like, these are fucking tight movies.
You would think.
Like,
totally, yeah. Yeah.
But, like, I don't know, man.
I think, you know, you look at, like, I think she's just kind of following the Downey Jr. Chris Evans model. Like, all right, well, let's do this for as long as we can.
And yeah.
When it's time to go, we can walk away. No regrets. Some of the scripts were shit.
Yeah.
But I did a pretty good job at them.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean? So.
And she's crushed in all of them.
Absolutely.
Like, her performance has been bang up.
Right. Yep.
But, I loved Peter Capaldi's performance as the Thinker.
Yep.
It was really fun watching him do that.
Yep.
I think David Dismalchin is, I can watch that motherfucker in anything. And it's good because he seems to be in everything.
He is.
Like, he's, but he's just he's a fun character actor, dude. Like, I like his work.
Yep.
I love Taika Waititi popping up as Ratcatcher Ratcatcher 1.
Yep.
Even,
like, all the random superheroes or whatever villains were great. Flula, what's his name?
Flula Borg.
As the javelin. Hilarious. I mean, just so, but you know, it sets up a cool little scene with Harley and all that kind of stuff. And
I love that the movie opens on Rooker and builds him as a guy. And then, like, as a moviegoer, like, Michael Rooker is a fucking name.
Right.
So, like, as a movie, like, oh, it's opening on him.
Yep.
And then he is the, he's the audience perspective in the opening scene.
Yep.
And he's fucking Michael Rooker. So we all know. So it's like, for him to die before the credits even start is like, tight.
Yep. And to die like a bitch, too. Kind of, you know what I mean? Like crying and just, you know.
Yeah, a real cowardly death.
And, but then during the same credits, I think it was part of the credits, when Deadshot's car, Bloodsport's cleaning, you know, the showers and stuff, and pulls out the long blonde hair.
Yeah,
like, that's fucking hilarious.
It's wonderful.
Great details like that is what makes a movie overall enjoyable and gets you talking about it like this. You know what I mean?
I agree with that.
Otherwise, it's just a Michael Bay, look, watch that blow up kind of shit.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And I think there was a lot of the little things that I really appreciated in this. Like, I think the way they handled all of the closed captioning for the different languages, I think was interesting. Like, it was better than just white captions on bottom.
Right,
like, it felt good. And the way they integrated titles into kind of the action was cool. It was fun. It was stylized in a way that, like, was on brand.
Yep.
And also, like, I don't think it should be understated just because it's silly. They made that starfish look pretty fucking great.
Right? It was pretty amazing.
Like, it looked.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, that is what a giant starfish would look like.
Yep.
That looked fucking good.
Looked pretty good.
Yep. It's a silly character, but looked really fucking good. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a perfect Suicide Squad enemy
or
whatever.
100% what it needed to be.
Yeah, it's 100%. Yeah. It reminded me a lot of like Doom Patrol or something along those, you know, which it's
but just done
at
a high
over
budget.
The top cheesy, but at the same time it fits right into what the fuck
it
you're watching.
Does its fucking job.
That's right. That's right. I think that's all I got on Suicide Squad.
Oh shit, we got a kaiju up in this bitch.
That's right.
It was a fun moment.
It's There's lots of fun moments.
It's a good time.
It's a fun movie.
I'm
going to go back and rewatch it at some point.
I will probably rewatch it tonight.
Because I watched it night it came out, like late. Mm. So it came on like here at 11 p.m. or something like that, right. Midnight. And I kind of in and out. Like, oh, here, it's coming on. So I pop it on. I'm ready to go. But at some point, I'm sure, just by being tired and going to bed right away.
Right.
I didn't all sink in the way
for it sure.
sink in. So I'm probably going to give it another watch tonight or tomorrow.
What's,
if the
power
storm
on.
Keeps on, then I'd definitely be watching it because my fucking satellite is a piece of shit.
Yeah, why you got a satellite, bro?
I don't know.
Get out of here with that
because
shit.
I used to have regular cable.
Yeah.
The network was so oversold, I couldn't get anything. It was dragging, like it was looked like a satellite signal. It was all choppy and shit all the time.
That sucks.
So I told them to pound sand. Different words. Got on this DirecTV thing or whatever. It's been great for a while. It's just...
I've had exclusively negative experiences.
If there is
satellites.
A cloud over Missouri, I lose signal.
Yeah.
It
sucks.
Used to be great. It's just gone downhill. But what are you going to do? Anyways, those are my white guy problems.
Yeah, I imagine I'll probably watch it tonight because, like I said, I had a less than desirable watching experience last night. And while I fell asleep very close to the end last night. So, like, I just had to watch, like, the last 20 minutes. I fell asleep right after Bloodsport kills Peacemaker.
Okay.
So, like, all I missed was fighting Starfish.
Okay.
Whereas, like, Libby...
But you did keep watching, right?
And I watched the Weasel. Is there another post-credit scene?
You know he's not dead, right?
Well, I mean, I know he's doing a show. I assumed it would be like a prequel one.
But they show him on the table. And we don't know how his heart's still beating, but it's beating.
No shit.
Yeah.
Oh,
I thought it'd be
a prequel post-credit
too.
Scene.
Yeah. It was just like a... Like one of those in-between credit scenes, what do you call it?
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't keep watching.
They call...
like a mid-credit scene?
Yeah, they call Amanda to the whatever. And
to the table?
And we can't believe his... We don't know how, but his heart's still beating.
No shit.
Peacemaker laying on the table, but...
Oh, cool.
He's laying there.
Oh, right on.
Or did I imagine... Now I think I'm imagining that. I know I saw this.
Yeah, I...
Now
I,
I'm
I,
confused.
Well, I walked away. Like,
fair
I,
enough.
I yeah. very much would have yeah. missed it. I was not... Right. Waiting for a post-credit scene.
Gotcha.
So I...
Because yeah. the very end...
The fact that I didn't see
was
it...
Was Weasel the, coming out, wasn't it?
No, that was like almost right away.
Okay, then...
Like,
then
it was
then
like...
Yes, okay.
Like, it's even hard to call that a post-credit scene. It was right. like they... It... The movie closed...
Like an epilogue.
Yeah, like the movie closed, and then it like went to black and said The Suicide Squad,
right.
and then it came up
came
with
out.
Weasel. Like,
right.
it was before the real credits even started.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, after that, they showed John Cena.
No shit.
Can't let a wrestler die.
I mean, you can.
I had fun with that.
Yeah.
What else all you right. got, man?
Let's take a breather real
yeah,
quick.
Yeah.
And then we will come back at it. And we're back.
We are back.
I don't know how much time will have passed in your time, whether or not we have an ad or not. But
time travel.
But had to take a little break.
What?
In which my dog kind of saved a funny story. My dog is really good at just eating shit she shouldn't.
Yeah.
Like, she just jumps up on everything. Went up there, found a little, like a blister pack.
Yeah.
Open, a small one. Like, looked like a pill was in it.
Yeah.
A big pill. Looked like a pill was in it. Oh, fuck. So I holler at Libby. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
It was her heartworm medicine.
Oh, nice.
That she was supposed to take tomorrow anyway. It's like, oh.
Just getting a head start on that.
How convenient. Thanks, Sophie,
yeah.
for
that
being
happens.
An asshole.
Right.
But, like, it working out. Now I Fine. Don't have to remember to give you a pill tomorrow. You're monthly. You just took a day. You took, like, 12 hours early.
Yep.
Tight. Yep. Okay. That's fine.
I don't know. It sounds like your dog has a pill problem.
Shit. I would, too, if I had to live here.
Wait a second.
As a dog, I
so,
mean.
Okay. I wasn't sure if you're admitting you had a pill problem.
If I had to be my dog, because I don't like having a dog.
Right. Brian knows. Yeah.
So I'm not. I don't love my dog.
You son.
I am
of
not an asshole to my dog, but I'm also not overly loving to my dog either.
Like, you don't go on runs together or go hunting. Or
I actually do take her for a walk because I'm the only one who does.
Because
I walk because. just because I walk.
That sounds like a dad's job. Anyway,
sounds like a dog. Sounds like the person who wants a dog's job.
That's right. But, that's right. I got a couple other little things. You have anything else you'd like to talk about?
Friday night.
Yes.
Having an evening with family. We decided to watch Dwayne The Rock Johnson in Disney's The Jungle Cruise.
Okay, sure.
Pretty fucking good time.
Good. Good to hear.
I would say, if you have kids, it's worth paying the premium for. Okay. Because it's a fun movie for the family. I would not recommend you spend money on it. However, it will be on Disney Plus for free in the next month or two.
Yep.
Because that's how they roll. It's a fun fucking ride. Like, it really quickly became apparent, like, they're trying to do what they did with Pirates of the Caribbean.
Sure.
You know, like, Pirates of the Caribbean was just a Disneyland ride. And they're like, all right, yeah, we'll make a movie based on it. And it ended up being a pretty fucking cool movie. Mm-hmm. But it's just, they made up the story. Like, Jack Sparrow and that shit, that wasn't in the Pirates of the Caribbean ride. Right. That's just, they have now gone back and rebuilt the Pirates of the, or changed the characters in it to actually match them. But, like, that wasn't the initial plan. They just made up a story and called it the thing from the ride. This, I think, is very similar. It was really fun in that, having just been at Disneyland and having just ridden on the Jungle Cruise, the whole thing with the Jungle Cruise is that it's like the skippers do, super cheesy, punny dad jokes.
Okay.
Like, that's kind of the shtick of the ride.
Okay.
Is they do the cheesy bits. And it's fun in the moment, right? This movie, in like its opening sequence, The Rock is doing the same bits from the script of the Jungle Cruise ride.
Gotcha.
So it's a fun little nod to the actual ride.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you haven't been on the ride, it's still just like, it's funny because it's The Rock being overly cheesy.
Gotcha.
So he sells it. It's very fucking charming. And it's like all the people on the boat are making fun of him for being douchey about, like, it's a fun sequence, but it's also like for fucking hardcore Disney fans, like there's a lot of people that go to that, especially in California, that go to Disneyland all the fucking time. Like, there are people that are like hardcore about it, and Jungle Cruise is one of those rides that a lot of people are hardcore on. So, like, it's one for someone like us. It's a cute moment. Like, the only reason I'm in on it is because I was literally just fucking there.
Right, right.
Like, I would have forgotten all of those bits.
Totally.
If this movie came out a month from now, I wouldn't have even picked up on it. But, like, there are a lot of people that are hardcore to it. So, like, for them to get the little nod, you know, it's kind of like how I feel as a comic book reader when, like, I see, say, like, in Civil War, they have the scene that looks like the fucking splash page from Civil War.
Right.
That, like, works whether you've read the books or not. Right, but if you've read it, you're like, fuck yeah, man, that moment was for me.
Right.
This is that. Yep. Like, it was like, ah, oh, this works no matter what your experience is.
Right.
But it's fucking a neat, I think that's a neat little bonus for, like, hardcore fans of the shit to be like, ah, they did the backside of water joke. Like, that's fucking great.
Right.
But it was a fun fucking ride, man. It was enjoyable.
Is The Rock the best part of it?
No.
No, okay.
I wouldn't say he's very good in it.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I'm trying to scan through my Rolodex in my head. I'm not going to say this definitively because I can't think too much more, but this is definitely among my favorite Dwayne Johnson performances ever.
Okay.
Like, this is the version of Dwayne Johnson I like the most. Kind of similar to his performance in Jumanji.
Okay.
Like, I like Dwayne Johnson to be the fucking big jacked guy that is also just kind of quirky and kind of silly.
Okay.
Like, action star The Rock, I don't love. Like, I get it. You're a fucking big muscle dummy. Like, whatever.
Right.
But when he's charming and like when he turns it on, I really like that version of him.
Yeah, I get you.
And that's like that's very much what the Jumanji performance was, and what this one was, where it's just like, oh, like you play to your size every now and again, but really, like that performance could have been done by anyone, and maybe I'm just that guy that way because I'll never be huge and jacked, but. But I just feel like when I see, like, huge jacked guys, like, just being, like, my character is that I'm fucking buff. It's right, like, right. All right, that's, I don't give a shit about that. Like, that doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah.
But in this, like, he was just a genuine performer. Like, he was just, like, he was funny when he needed to be funny. He was emotional when he needed to be emotional. You know, like, he was just... He was charming. I don't have any other word.
He was the rock.
He was charming.
Right.
Like he was along for the ride. He fit the part.
Okay.
Along the same thing, Emily Blunt looked awesome in this movie.
Really?
And I've always, like, Emily Blunt's a beautiful woman. Don't get me wrong. But it's also just kind of always been like, oh, all
right.
Like,
right, right. And, where do I know her from for the most part?
She's married to John Krasinski. She was.
Oh, she was in
the new Mary Poppins.
She was in the movie with him first.
The Quiet Place.
Wasn't she in the first one?
Yeah.
And second one, I guess. Yeah. But yeah.
Okay. And she was.
I know her name, and I know the face. I just can't picture other things I've seen her in for whatever reason.
She was the new Mary Poppins.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
She was in. How dare you?
Yeah.
She's been in a number of things. Does the plot change
since the 50s?
No.
Okay.
No. Now I feel like an asshole because I can't, like,
she's in many things,
and she's a very good performer.
Like, successful things.
I can't. And she's very good in them.
Yes.
So now I just feel like a shit.
Me too. I should have done more research before
I asked her. I'm the worst. I should have done more research before I said her name.
Nah, we're gonna
having no frame of context, I probably should have just shut the fuck up.
Yeah. It happens.
But I'm bad at shutting up.
Yeah, we all are.
But yeah, man, I recommend it. It's a fun ride.
All right. I'll check it out.
It's definitely worth your time if it's, you know, if it's already sitting there on Disney Plus.
Right.
Like, it's just a good family-oriented action movie. Mm-hmm. Like, the action sequences are cool. They're interesting. They're unique. But, like, it's cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Cooler than the other side of the pillow.
That's right. I'm pretty sure I said this on the podcast last week, but I've been using this saying religiously now. They go together like pimps and pinky rings. I think we need to make shirts. I'm just telling you.
That's a good one.
Altered state and whatever, like pimps and pinky rings. We'll just do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's in. Other thing I watched Val. The Val Kilmer documentary.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
It's great. I mean, I'm a Val Kilmer fan regardless of...
Clearly I am.
...the Batman thing. Which, by the way, after you watch him talk about it, I know you're still going to love it, but you're going to be like, the fact that he hated the experience so much is going to make you appreciate it.
Oh, man.
Yeah, yeah. He did not have fun.
That sucks.
Yep. But, you know, he's Val Kilmer, so he bounces back.
Sure.
But no, there's... It's, you know, he has had a video camera by his side, like, every day for the majority of his life. He just likes to... He has, I think, two younger brothers. Or maybe he's in the middle. I can't remember exactly. I think he was in the middle. When he was about 12, one of his brothers died. But they would always make, like... They would see movies they loved, and they would reenact them and record it.
Oh, make Super 8 movies?
Exactly. So that's kind of where their love came from. And, of course, he always says...
Oh, that's cool.
My brother was so much more talented than me, but always felt that need, like... Kind of like the Dewey Cox thing. Like, I got to be great for both of us kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Right. That's cool.
It is very cool. Yeah. I mean, he never really talked about it until now.
Wow.
Of course, it's very... His health is getting better, mm-hmm. but he's still... There's no guarantee his voice will ever come back.
Yeah.
So he has like that voice box thing now. So it's still really hard for him to speak. So it's all, you know, it's all pretty much narrated through his journals and things like that, that his son narrates.
Oh, wow.
It's moving. So his son is talking about, as Val, you know, getting divorced and, you know, the things that led to that. And it's like
powerful.
You know, his son's probably in his, you know, early 20s, mid 20s. Okay. But still, that's.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Wow,
you know what I mean?
Man.
Yeah, it's very. They show him at a Comic-Con, you know, not doing well. You know, it's a very. It's a nice journey. And it, you know, it does make you sad at some points, but at the same time, it gives you a lot of hope.
Yeah.
It makes you appreciate. Like, he's going, he's bouncing around to conventions and doing that kind of stuff now. And he even says in this, he's like, you know, I'm an actor. I like to create things. And now I feel like I'm just making money off old shit I've done. And I'm not putting anything new in the universe. And why, you know, the self-doubt, the all this, you know, even though he can't physically do it. Wow. And there's no, you know, it's not like he can't get a role. People are still calling him to do things. But he physically cannot
do
it.
It's like he's only in Jay and Bob Reboot because he doesn't have to speak.
Totally, totally. But, you know, like I think his last... like real thing he's did before he got super sick was like fucking MacGruber. But he was always kind of already, you know, getting bigger from chemo and things, but you know, but it's a good watch. It's a really, even if you're not a Val Kilmer fan, you can watch it just watching this person who loves what they do and loves the art of acting and how seriously he took it. He was like the youngest person at the time ever accepted to Juilliard and, you know, all this kind of, he struggled a long time with the Hollywood actor image. You know what I mean?
He's just a true performer.
Totally. There was like a... In Juilliard, he wrote and starred in this play that after he graduated, people were like, oh, we'll come do it in these towns, in this town. And then it got put on Broadway. And he was cast to be in it, right? Well, then Kevin Bacon became available. So he was bumped to second. And then Sean Penn became available. So he was bumped to third. So he was like not even really... in the thing.
The second understudy of his own
production.
Well,
he wasn't understudy, but he was like bumped to like third casting. So like now all the jokes are like the butt of the joke guy, that's him. Like, so he's like, I got made fun of by like all my peers, it felt like, for like a year, but I wrote all of their fucking dialogue. You know what I mean? Like, it was just, it was a hard pill to swallow.
Yeah.
But, you know, but the next thing he gets is fucking, you know, he even said, he's like, and then I got Top Gun. I got the movie that would forever... you know, have pilots stopping me in the airport yelling Iceman. He's like, that's who I will... if I go to the airport, Iceman. No matter who, what, I am Iceman. And then he does like a... he did a... like a tombstone.
Yeah,
he did a tombstone anniversary thing that was like in South Dakota, like out in Tombstone, like a big, huge thing. And you could tell he loved being there, but it also started to break him. You know, like, it was the whole not... contributing to the world anymore, you know. And
so, oh man,
but it was an awesome. I would recommend it to anybody. It's not gonna like, it's not the type of depressing where it ruins the rest of your day. But
it's heavy.
It's heavy, but then it lifts you up. So he's got a daughter who's there with him all the time. His son's there with him all the time. So it's he still has a very, you know, in like 2019 as part of this document, his mom passed away. So you see him like going through all that and. Like, you know, a lot of that jewelry he wears now?
Yeah.
That was her shit. That's kind of why he wears it. Yeah.
Wow.
And, you know, it's moving. It's very moving.
Sure.
It's a human interest piece. It's very good. It's very good.
And I am an interested human.
Yep. Yep. But he is not a fan of Tommy Lee Jones. Actually, it's not true. He wasn't like... he said he went into this, like that movie... this isn't spoiling anything, obviously. Like... not really knowing what they wanted from him because they had just kind of got rid of Michael Keaton and all that kind of stuff. And he's like, and Tommy Lee Jones and Jim Carrey apparently had the scripts for like a year. So they built this whole huge character thing. And he's like, within like a week, I was pretty much told my job was to stand there.
Well, and Tommy Lee Jones hated everything about that movie and was a prick to everyone.
Right.
Like, Tommy Lee Jones still talks about how much he hates Jim Carrey because of that movie.
Right.
Like, and Tommy Lee Jones, I think he only accepted that movie. It was either like for his kid or his nephew or someone who was like, oh, you can be in Batman.
Yep.
But he was just fucking like, pissed off and miserable.
Val Kilmer even says, he's like...
so clearly he made everyone else pissed off and miserable.
Go watch that movie and see how many times my only acting is putting my hands on my hips. Like, that's like... I don't, even as Batman or not, just, he just puts his hands on his hips and that's like all he does. He's just, he's like, It was his. I think he said one of his worst Hollywood experiences. But
that's my Batman.
That's the hey. It was a. He even said very successful movie. He's like, I'm not shitting on the movie. He's like, but as an experience, it was not his top.
It's not an objectively good movie.
No, but it's not.
It's just it's my Batman. That's sure, like sure. Val Kilmer will always be my Batman yeah. because like. What, that movie come out probably 94, 95,
sure. yeah.
96 even?
Yeah.
Like, that's when I'm 7 years old.
Right.
So he will forever be, like, that was my introduction to Batman in the cinema. And it will always carry weight for me, no matter how many times you fuck with me, that movie just matters to me.
That's another great t-shirt. Instead of like, you know, Jesus is my homeboy, like, Val is my Batman.
Val is my Batman.
Yeah.
Hey.
We can get those going.
I'll make that.
We can get those going.
I'll print that shirt.
That's really all I got. I watched
that looks
a
like
cool,
a super yucky shirt.
Oh yeah, right, right. I watched a UFO show, and I'm not a big UFO guy, so I won't. Bring
really,
that.
I love UFOs.
I didn't think you were much into that.
I'm super into what? That.
I must have been mistaken. I watched.
So I am not into the UFO shows.
Okay.
Because they rarely end with any real resolution.
Of course.
I have read a number of UFO books.
Okay.
The preferred nomenclature is UAP.
Yeah.
Sir,
yeah,
it's the
yeah.
Unidentified Aerial well, Phenomena.
This is just what the show was called. It was UFO Project Declassified.
And that loses credibility for me because that is not the preferred nomenclature in the society. It is UAP.
Now it is, yeah.
It has been for the last 6 years.
But this was being based on all the declassified stuff that came out recently.
Yeah.
And it was still called UFO in most of those documents, which is why.
We'll see.
And it's like a six-part series. Each show is like different topics. So the first 40 minutes of the first episode was all about Project Blue Book,
okay,
and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. The second one was about Majestic 12,
mm-hmm.
And I haven't got to the third. So it kind of gives you new topics each time. Once again, it's not revealing any groundbreaking information or anything like that. But this was probably the first show like this I've watched since all that shit was declassified, so I really never broke down what was in the declassified stuff. So I was getting new okay. information. You know what I mean? I'm not
sure.
Nothing, like I said, nothing groundbreaking. I didn't like, oh my god, my opinion has now changed. But there's some new information, like, oh, I didn't realize this and this and this. So I that kind of shit's in there.
Oh, cool.
Nothing but a fun little 40-minute watch.
Yeah.
So
I have been like this week, this last probably the last 3 weeks since I got back from Disney. Quite honestly. I have been just deep diving again on Star Wars
mm-hmm.
because it's my favorite thing in the world. I'll come across these deep dives a couple times a year maybe. And, we're in the middle of Bad Batch, which I've been on week to like loving. The penultimate episode just happened. It's wonderful. I can't express enough how well they have done with this property. But I went down a real rabbit hole this week. I had a buddy at work is also a big Star Wars guy, and we always kind of shoot the shit about Bad Batch on Fridays. And he started looking at these the Star Wars archive books
mm-hmm.
And like reading them and shit, and got into reading about Lucas's plan for the sequel trilogy.
Yeah.
Which I had never gone as deep into. Like, I knew he had a plan, but I never really paid attention to what that plan was. So I went down that rabbit hole this week. And then I got excited because I realized that's really what Favreau and Filoni are honoring.
Right.
Like,
they're trying to get that vision.
They are taking, yeah. like, so the whole thing for the sequel trilogy, and in fairness, I understand why this wasn't done because of the age of the actors, quite honestly. Like, Lucas's vision was, all right, so you beat the Empire. Now there's a power vacuum. What do you do? So the whole sequel trilogy was supposed to revolve around Leia, and it's Leia is rebuilding the Republic and becomes Supreme Chancellor.
Mm-hmm.
Luke is building the Jedi Order,
mm-hmm.
and the crime underbosses. It's more like it's like mob. So instead of being another all-powerful empire, which is essentially what we got, you were having, all right, we as the Rebellion are trying to build a government, and Luke is trying to build a, you know, quote-unquote army or guardians, and the fucking mob bosses are taking over what they can. Maul was the overarching bad guy,
sure,
which is fucking dope.
Yep.
Like, such a cool fucking idea. Also, I get it. In 2012, you can't make a movie with those same actors, at least,
sure,
that takes place a year after, sure, Return of the Jedi. You know, yeah, like, yeah, you have to recast.
Yep.
That's just the way it is. And I understood that they weren't going to do that. But I think that's a much cooler story. And then it's like, oh, that's definitely what they're doing with Mandalorian. That's definitely what they're doing with, like,
sure,
how they're building up the kind of, like, crime underlord or overlord shit in Bad Batch. And, like, they're leaning more into that. It's so much more interesting. And it just makes me feel like, man, George, you still have all the good ideas. If you weren't such a shitty dialogue writer...
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah.
Because that's all it is. He just can't write a screenplay.
Yeah.
My man can write a fucking outline.
Absolutely.
He can write.
He can design a universe.
Yeah. He can create a story that matters.
He can R.R. Martin the shit out of that.
Right. But yeah, just give the screenplay to a homie.
I was watching The Peacock last week or something, and he just had, like, the SNL channel on, yeah, the background.
Sure.
And it was...
I'm proud of you, by the way, for not going Peacock.
I fought it.
I'm sure you did. Inside, I just wanted you to know how proud of you I am.
I did it inside before I said it out loud.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Whatever you got to do.
Right? And it was like right when the sequel trilogies were starting to come out.
Uh-huh.
So it was one of those, oh, we'll show you some of the casting auditions. You know,
yeah.
So, you know, John Hamm is Han Solo.
Oh, I remember that sketch.
Kind of shit. But then they had...
they had Bill Hader doing Christopher Walken,
yes,
in that?
Yes, Danny DeVito was BB-8.
Uh-huh.
Bobby Moynihan. And then Bobby Moynihan was playing George Lucas. And he would just kind of be in the background, you,
uh-huh,
know, like, you will get me a Coke Zero. It's like, George, you're not in this. You didn't write this. You will get me a Coke Zero. We don't have any Coke Zero. I found your lack of Coke Zero disappointing. Like, it was so dumb, but it made me laugh so hard because it was a perfect...
That's a good sketch.
Like... he's difficult to work with or what, you know, but he knows everything, so he fucking has to be involved. You know what,
yeah,
I mean? So it was a perfect wrap up for what Star Wars was doing right at that time. But, I miss Bobby Moynihan.
Yeah.
I enjoyed him.
I think he was great.
He was great. He just kind of like quietly went away.
I am interested to see what this year's cast of SNL looks like. Because it just seems like everyone that I think is funny seems kind of poised to go.
Yeah, yeah. You, like, always think that, but then you never know who's going to hang out for another 5 years.
Right, but it's like I look at, like, Kate McKinnon and Cecily Strong and, yeah, Edie Bryant. They all seem like, and those three women specifically,
yeah,
are probably three of the funniest people in the cast right now.
I think Kate McKinnon's the first to go, if they don't all three go at the same,
well,
time.
I'm surprised Kate's been there as long as she has.
Yeah, yeah. Is she head writer?
Colin Jost is head writer, I believe.
Okay.
That's usually how...
That's right.
They've in
update person.
In, yeah, in recent decades,
yeah,
they've pretty much, the head writer has just...
Yeah.
Their job exclusively then is.
Yeah.
But even Colin Jost is probably pretty close to leaving.
Yeah. But he doesn't... Unlike some of the other, like Tina Fey's and Seth Meyers, he's not going to fall back on... There's no opening for him to...
My dude, he's married to Scarlett Johansson.
Well, I know, but I'm saying if he leaves SNL...
He doesn't need a job.
He needs to do something.
And, you know, Scarlett Johansson currently in the middle of suing Disney.
Did you see where that... They're saying that's all just a PR thing? Just to get more eyes on it?
It's a bad... Like, she looks very fucking bad.
I would agree 100%.
That's a really...
I would agree 100%.
Like, that's a really tone-deaf move. When it's like, yeah, you know what? Disney actually did do everything they could to get this in theaters.
Right, right.
And delayed it like 7 fucking times,
yep,
and then still put it in theaters. But like, you know, you're not fucking Tenet.
But that also tells me,
like,
this is why it took so long to come out in the first place.
Yeah, like that's a real, right, tone deaf.
Yeah. Yep.
And like, she's also, I believe, the highest paid female actor in Hollywood right now.
That I have
like
no,
I believe her I believe her going rate is like the top. If she's not number one, she's definitely in the top five.
I
like,
believe it. Yeah.
You don't get to be suing for more money right now. Like everybody's hurting.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And you're doing super fine. Like you're totally cool.
Yeah.
You're all set.
Not getting
and you have been for a real long time.
Real long time.
You know, it's not like this was your breakout. Like I've been waiting forever. This was my breakout moment. Right. No, it wasn't. Yeah. Like you done been broken out.
That's right.
You've been a fucking legitimate leading lady for like 15 fucking years, maybe 20 years.
Yep.
Like you're fine.
Yep. Yep. And I have to believe Disney has pretty good lawyers.
Yeah.
So if there was going to be an issue,
you really
where they
coming
were gonna,
for the mouse?
Right. I mean,
you don't come for the mouse.
Yeah. That's just a
fool's errand.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not going to end well.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to end well. That's all I really have, dude.
Yeah, I think that's about it for the week. We'll have I think this week we get What If coming out.
Mm-hmm.
We get the finale of Bad Batch.
Yep.
I don't know what else is coming down the pipe.
The next few weeks, once the Olympics and everything's over, I feel like new stuff starts coming out on TV again. All the series start ramping back up.
We'll be there in August.
Yeah.
You know, mid August.
Yeah.
So the world's turning around. We may or may not have some other shit to talk about.
We may. We will.
So right. Well, next week we have
a Rancid concert. So yeah. So sorry. So,
no show next week.
That's right.
You can catch us in the Pops parking lot.
That's right. There may be a drunken conversation beforehand, but I doubt we'll record it.
I hope not.
I love DBs, but conversations there never go right.
Yeah, I feel like that's going to be a bit of a day.
Yeah. It'll be a fun day.
It's going to be a great fucking day.
It'll be a fun day.
But it may or may not be
it's not the appropriate
time
to record
the right
podcast.
Place for all of this.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
So we will see you episode 98 late August.
That's right.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
See ya.